tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
We had a Bobby sighting today, so this was definitely the song to be playing, The Gambler. Hey guys, welcome to our Supernatural After Show. We have two very familiar faces with us today. We're very excited. Hi, I'm Lindsay Wegner, and tonight I am joined by Travis Aaron Wade, Miss Ruth Connell, and also Katie Campbell.
Hello, hello.
Hi, everyone. All right, so let's quick give all our Twitter so you guys can stay in the know with us. So we can talk about everything supernatural with the hashtag ABTV Supernatural. You guys can find me on Twitter at Lindsay Wegner. Travis, where can they find you on Twitter?
On Twitter, I am at Travis Aaron Wade.
I'm Ruthie Connell.
And you can find me on Twitter at Katie Campbell. That's Katie with three E's, Campbell.
And today we are talking about Supernatural Season 10, Episode 17, Inside Man. Mm-hmm. What did we think about the episode this week?
I loved it. I mean, I always love seeing the whole Rowena and Crowley relationship, and I loved seeing Bobby. I just couldn't get over that.
Yeah, it's so nice to see him up there. It was my pal, Rashad Ernesto Green. He directed the episode, and we were new at the same time. He was observing Girls, 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 which is where I met you.
That's true.
So Rashad and I made friends then, and so he was there observing, so he knew how the show worked, so he could come back and do it. I think he did a great job.
Really, I think he did a great job too, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It was a very, very emotional episode with Bobby returning. It's just the letter to Sam later on, everything. Just a great, great episode. So we can jump right in and talk about...
He passed remark on me last night on Twitter. He said something about, yeah, she's tiny, or like she's the size of a thumb. Something. And I was like, all the best things come in small packages. There's this kind of banter thing going on last night.
Is a fraggle a nice package? No.
I love that. Curtis is so cute.
So we get Sam and Cass having a little seance with their psychic friend to try and get a hold of Bobby, which they do, and who is reading Tori Spelling's book.
One of the classics. Hilarious.
It's a
good book.
Good book.
It might be a good book. You never know.
All about the birthing and everything, I'm sure.
But 24 hours, we see Dean having a nightmare and calling out to Sam, and knowing that, okay, we got to take care of business. We got to figure out how to get rid of this mark. And Sam's still on the hunt to figure it out. And I know you guys have been posting saying you're kind of getting sick of this whole back and forth between Sam and Dean thing. And you just kind of want to see either some resolution or something, which I totally agree with. And I think we will. I think they're drawing it out until the end of the season. We have six more episodes left. So we've still got time to find out what's going to happen here, and they're going to drag it out till that last moment.
I mean, what intrigued me was the sweat on, when he sleep sweat. The guys are really moist, don't they? Like, in your fight scenes and everything, you're warm.
Wet.
You're always like, more water, more water. Is that what happens?
I mean, normally we're just sweating, period.
we're just like working hard.
Yeah, I think it's actual real sweat, to be honest with you.
Well, you were sweating a lot a couple episodes ago because you were in the sweat lodge.
It's true.
So there was probably just copious amounts of water.
Yeah, it was hot, it was sweaty, and I had, I've not gone to a sauna since, so I've stayed out of the sauna
Jensen
since.
Jensen actually apologized to me, the bit with the bar. He was like, Ruth, I've been fighting all day, I'm sorry. I was like, dude, I've been hanging out all day, it's fine. Oh, the glamour.
Oh, the glamour of it all.
So Sam tells Dean he's going to go see a movie in Wichita, Kansas, asks if Dean wants to come along because it's a French movie, and he says no. He's like, you go, I need some alone time, I need some solo time. We know this is all a setup, obviously, to kind of figure out what's going on with this mark.
Yeah, if it was a nude French movie, Dean would have been interested.
He would have jumped on it.
Last Tango in Paris.
Yeah, the subtitles thing, that I just, no, there was no way he was going to go there and... It's just not Dean, yeah. Is it?
No.
But that was a really funny piece of writing.
And he's joined by Cass, so we know that they're going to figure something out. And then we get to see Rowena... Nakey.
I missed that.
You missed.
she's painting these little like symbols on. Was it blood? Yes, technically blood.
Yes. There was actually a scene that we filmed. I think there wasn't space for where you see me getting the virgin blood, and ooh. Yeah, and I have to say I opened up the email with the script in it really late at night, mm-hmm. on my own in bed, like 10:30 at night. Opened the script. Rowena's naked in front of the mirror painting.
Gym time.
Like, I said to everyone, I thought I signed up for Supernatural, not Game of Thrones.
Oh my gosh.
So then I had to kind of talk myself down off the ledge, go to the gym.
Yeah, hit the level downstairs.
Breathe. So yeah, I've never done that before on set, so that was a learning curve.
Yeah.
How did it go for you? Well, I didn't see the scene, but did you have to wear pasties? Did you?
I don't want to ruin the illusion. I'm not saying anything. But yeah, you know the crew so well by this point. They're yeah. your pals, and you're like, I don't want to stand in my pants in front of my and pants. We see pants for I don't know what you call it in America. We don't mean short. We don't mean trousers. We mean
undies. Yes.
There you go. Yeah. Pants. So no, that wasn't. It wasn't my top of my list of fun things I wanted to do in my life. But
was it cold?
It was Vancouver, wasn't it? It's not right. I was like, this shouldn't be happening. No, it's given me more confidence to maybe be bolder in future to do more stuff like that. I'm mm-hmm. quite, I'm not going to say shy, but I'm not the most like, you know, get my kit off kind of person. We'll see. I don't know what they'll write in future. We'll see what happens if Rowena has to show more skin or whatever you call it. But it was definitely a fun experience.
Describe get my cat off. What is?
I like that you're asking all the questions. I don't even have to ask. You keep going. You dive in here.
I just want to know what that means.
What is that?
Like, yeah. I want to say that.
Your kit. Get your kit off.
Your kit.
Kit.
Okay.
Your kit. Yeah, it's just
your kicks like
kit. Kit like kit. Kit. K-I-T.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, like I thought it was cat. Sorry.
I thought it was cat too. I was like, get your cat off. I was like,
I'm so sorry. My accent's too strong.
No, I'm sorry. Your accent.
My kit off.
My kit. But I'm gonna use take your kit off. Why don't you just take your cat off? Just make yourself at home. It's my new pickup line. On the bar.
It's slightly wrong, isn't it? There's something slightly wrong in there.
Yeah, there is. A little play on words. A little bit too much going on there.
Moving on.
In that scene, though, I loved Crowley's reaction. So funny. It was so good. And you're like, I'm your mother.
I just love that the writers put that stuff in just for that playfulness.
Mm. Yeah.
To see him go, oh, and squirm. And the fact that I like the fact when he squirms, you know, I kind of want to make him squirm more and firm.
Yeah.
And could have probably gone further with that as well. But yeah, that was actually a really technical scene to film, incredibly technical. Because of the naked thing, there are certain rules in the network.
Mm-hmm.
So you just stand at this angle and reach at this angle. And it's so technical.
Yeah.
It really is. And you hear about people talking about that stuff when they're doing sex scenes and stuff. It's very technical. And I can now understand why.
Mm.
It's literally like, you have to, can you turn your face this way to make it work on the camera? So it was very technical.
I gotta go back and watch this.
Travis came in, he just missed that bit at the beginning. So,
ran a little behind.
Sarah's right for being late.
I know. The universe just punching me on the shoulder.
So you have a little conversation with Crowley and tell him that you have a boyfriend. So now if you've not only made him uncomfortable about being naked in front of him, you tell him that you have like a date with Trent.
He works at Biggerson's, and I obviously looked up Biggerson's, and it's this place, this fictional, supernatural cafe that gets mentioned.
He's not the brightest.
He's not the brightest.
He's the assistant manager, right?
He's assistant manager. You know, he's worked his way up. Yeah.
So funny.
Maybe Trent will come. Maybe he'll come into it. So maybe we'll manifest him.
Yeah.
To be real.
Is there a Trent?
It was a fabrication in the moment, but you never know. You never know with Rowena what the truth is.
Was there a Trent in Vancouver?
Trent. Good name, Trent. That's what I'll have to be from now on. I heard in a previous episode, Mark talks about it when he was getting a massage or something. Do you know that episode, the previous season?
With the girl, but from the girl, from the hot girl.
Yeah, the hot girl. Yes. And I'm like, I think Rowena should have the same thing and like, because we mirror each other all the time with the things we say and do.
Yeah.
And I think Rowena should have the reverse, some hot dude giving her.
Maybe Trent.
Maybe Trent.
That's, you know?
Maybe Cole.
Be massaging her neck like this.
So we also see the return, the technical return of Hannah. Which was a wonderful emotional scene. Katie, you had said that you felt like it was actually Hannah, the actor that portrayed Hannah. She took a new vessel.
Mm-hmm. But it still was Hannah, and you could tell it was Hannah because he was acting that so well.
Yeah, Erica Carroll's my friend. She played Hannah so beautifully, and she was tweeting last night and watching, and she said her heart, like, he did such a good job. It was so hard to see her character and go, and somebody else take over. You know, she went, and she could see he did such a good job, why he was picked, and the sensitivity that he had, and the way how it matched her. And he was lovely. I met him on set. He was absolutely lovely as well. So it'd be interesting if he come, you know, see if we see more of him.
And we did get to see him at the end of the episode again too. So I think it's potential for him to stick around.
Do we know what actor played that role?
I got it on my Twitter feed. It's escaping me just now.
Shout out to whoever you are.
Shout out to whoever played Hannah last night.
I'm
good.
I'm just here to make it interesting.
He's asking all the tough questions today. I'm going to leave all those. I'm going to leave all of them to you.
What was their name?
Were they again?
So we see them talking to Hannah because they obviously want to break Metatron out. They think that there's a reason to get Metatron out of Heaven's prison to get rid of this mark of Cain, and they say it's not possible for them to do this, but they're going to figure out another way to do it. So they go find Oliver Price. Oh, go ahead, Katie.
I just wanted to say that Hannah in that vessel did say that Metatron, like, he can't be trusted. He's probably lying. And I just agreed with that. I didn't think that Metatron actually knew something anymore. I'm like, he's just using things, trying to get out. I didn't believe it.
I think I felt like that when we first saw Dean beating him up and him giving, like, saying the source is at the water's end or whatever. I was like,
because there's a lot of scrutiny about what he said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if it was really truthful or if it was quite a ploy.
It sounded really profound. I was like, this is really cool, and it was nonsense.
It's just Crowley being, or Metatron being
Wily
Fraggle.
Wily
Fraggle.
I'll tell him that next time I see him. You're a Wily Fraggle.
So they go to see Oliver Price, who knows that Sam is part of the Men of Letters, but can't quite put his finger on what Cass is, and Cass tells him that he's an angel, and he says, I'm an atheist.
Yeah.
So I don't really believe in angels.
He just sees colors.
Only sees colors with him.
Which is interesting.
I want to know what that means.
Well, so he's not seeing, is he not seeing Misha's form? Is he just seeing colors, just
not his thoughts.
Oh, these, I see, right? Yeah,
so like he can read people's thoughts, but his thoughts are just colors. Yeah.
Could he, like, drop acid?
Maybe. Every possibility, every chance. That's how angels think. They think in colors.
Yeah, so every single angel would be colors in their head.
Like some musicians, they hear in colors and stuff. Don't think there's people who have crossed their synapses cross and they think in colors and all that. So maybe that's
like Mozart.
Did he do that?
From what I've heard. I didn't know him.
You didn't know him?
No.
You didn't know him?
No. But I've heard that, like, geniuses like that.
Yeah.
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 Geniuses in Castillo.
Well, and this
really upsets me. I don't see colors.
Do you dream in color? When you dream, do you dream vividly?
Yes.
Oh, okay. See, then you maybe
then
do.
I might be a genius.
Maybe you've got some sort of psychic or something. Maybe you will see in colors. There's something you haven't tapped into yet.
I would have seen that. I was supposed to be here at 2. That's
what I would have seen. So you could have seen the naked scene.
Yes.
So they're going to have this little seance to try and get a hold of somebody up in heaven to break out Metatron. We find out that we obviously know at the beginning of the episode that it was Bobby. Mm-hmm. And Bobby's in his own personal heaven, hanging out, chilling, hears this message from Sam and immediately wants to help and wants to be involved. And Sam's telling him the story. Sam and Cass are telling him the story about Dean and that Dean's not there and Dean's fighting this battle. And mm-hmm. emotional, right?
Yeah. And I was sad when Bobby said that he thinks that there's somebody better to do this job. I was like, no. I literally said that to my TV last night. I'm like, no, it's you, Bobby.
Nobody better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love seeing him back. And I'm kind of worried what's going to happen with him now.
I think he just needed someone younger, maybe. I think he's feeling a little tired. Yeah. You know?
But he's been resting for a while.
Yeah. Might need someone younger. Just saying.
So we also see Rowena talking to did he have a name? The guy you were trying to figure out where the Winchesters were, did he have a name or was he just
he had
guy with surface?
No, he was called something minion, like Geek Minion or something.
Geek Minion.
And he was tech minion. I need to look at my script. He was a lovely guy, just hit it off with him really well. And we did that so easily and quickly. Like, so many of the co-stars and that they get in for the day are so good. He was just really sweet, and it was fun to kind of have like a boy to play with. It's, you know, easier to manipulate than Riley. Oh.
I didn't know if that was going to be Trent or not. Yes. I was like, could this be Trent? You're bringing him in to help
Trent's
you.
Trent's a lot taller.
Okay. Oh, Trent's a lot taller.
Yeah, he's pretty broad as well.
She's got him down.
She's already got him figured out.
Yeah, sure, exactly.
He's quite buff.
And Dean, being all by his lonesome, goes into the bar to get some nachos and beers and sees some Abercrombie rejects playing pool.
Some college guys.
College guys, you know, kind of being douchey.
What's that Paul Newman movie with Tom Cruise?
Color of Money.
Color of Money, yeah. That's what he's doing. He was being the hustler, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah. Dean totally goes and hustles the crap out of these boys, pretends he's drunk. I'm like, dude, he can't be bad at pool. Like, there's just no way. Dean's good at everything. Like, he's playing these boys. I didn't know what for.
Well, he even did that with his hair. He, like, kind of disheveled it a little bit.
So he looked drunk.
Yeah.
Or douchey.
Or douchey. Yeah. But how these three guys didn't think that, I mean,
why did he want the watch? That's what was going through my head.
He was just being bad. I just thought he was taking stuff. It was the mark of Cain. That's what I thought. It's just like being that. But he stopped himself at the point of real violence. That was when you see he's actually controlling it and not going as far. But what he was doing before was just being a bit of a abysm.
It's like the mark of Cain, like, makes you, like, tussle your hair.
Makes you tussle your hair. Pout a little. Splash. You look totally hot with that, all that entire day. Let's be fair. And he was shooting his own pool and doing his own fighting.
Tough day at the office.
Yeah.
And I was curious about that. They're good at pool?
Oh. They lined up the shots and he was doing them. Of course, when the camera goes on, it suddenly becomes...
Yeah.
You know,
stressful.
But he keeps his cool. He's so experienced, Jensen, isn't he? He's fantastic. And he makes the whole circus turn, you know. He could practically, I mean, he directs so often himself and he does the stunts so often himself. It all revolves around him, and I'm like sitting in my bar stool in the corner watching.
You could be Trent.
You want to call yourself Trent. That day's filming, the scene where, you know, somebody said in Twitter he's cradling my head.
He really was holding it quite gently. Yeah, I did notice that.
He was being a lovely actor at that point. And we'd been there the whole day. And then that was the very last 20 minutes, you know, like 10:40 at night or whatever. Mm. And all of a sudden you got to act, you know, and do that scene. And at one point he said something and I was just looking at his eyes and I was like...
Did you get lost in his eyes?
And literally, my brain has sparkled with that point and blurring, and I was like,
is that the character?
And I think it's the first time maybe I've dropped a line in 7 episodes. Wow.
You're good.
You know, just like, I'm like, I learn it and all that. But,
that is understandable.
Like, yeah.
He's... Everyone on that show is so ridiculously good looking for the most part. So if you're working with one of them, I mean, when we had Matt Cohen in here who played young John Winchester, he's like,
gorgeous.
Jensen's lips.
Yeah.
And he was talking about Jensen's lips for a good couple minutes. And we're all sitting there like,
I agree completely.
Rashad. I'm going to drop Rashad in it here. Rashad's like, man, they're just so handsome. I was like, dude. He's like, they're just so good looking. I was like,
so tall.
Where are you going with this? Like, you need to be in charge of these dudes tomorrow. Yeah.
Don't let them control you with their beautiful faces. They're tall and amazing hair.
They're just so tall.
Oh my gosh. Anytime anybody is next to Jared, I'm
even
like.
Misha,
even Misha, yeah, standing next to him. And Misha's fairly tall too.
Yeah,
when we met him at Supernatural
Con. Make a joke.
No, I'm the smallest out of all of them. Yeah, I'm 5'7. And, yeah, so like all the feeds and all the little comments were like, "Oh, look how tiny Travis is!
Aww.
He's like fun size." And
that's why they put you up the hill of that bit, girls, girls, girls.
Yeah, they put me up the hill, and now I get my own Apple box. And
like, that, yeah, so. I mean, yeah, I'm on a platform most days.
They're good guys. I mean, they are 6'1" and 6'4".
I think at least 6'4", like, maybe taller.
Legit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they're big guys, and then that poses a problem. Most leading men in TV shows are tiny.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of actors are small. We're like small and got a lot to say for ourselves.
We're like big in the community, and then we get on this show, and it's like, what happened?
I would go that far. Maybe you are, but I'm still struggling.
Tiny?
I'm still, yeah, most things I'm pretty small.
So we do in that scene, obviously, Dean beats the college boys and totally hustles them, and boys are upset. Rowena shows up. Mm-hmm. We get a sighting, and
love that you have a glass of wine every time.
I have a different drink every time. That was like
that cognac or
yeah, that one was like a brandy glass.
Yeah,
I poured a sherry in the previous scene.
Yeah,
and I had pink champagne before. I had whiskey the first scene, and I have, in the next episode you see me in, I ask for a different drink again, because I just, and you'll see it's quite a fun drink I have in the next episode.
Oh, fun, like Crowley's drink?
No, we've not gone there, because that's his
not
thing.
Not Froofy.
We've not gone there, but there's definitely, Rowena likes a wide array of beverages, of alcoholic beverages, so we're having fun with that,
She's got her little drink, and casts a spell on the guys, so they go after Dean and start attacking him, and he hits the guy and is about to stab him with this pool cue. Yeah. And we flash back to a couple of episodes where Dean
makes
ravagely beat someone or kills someone, and he stops himself. Mm-hmm. And we see him pull out the blade. Because Rowena has now tried to set a spell on him. What was the purpose of a spell? Was it to
really blow him apart?
The
scene that wasn't there was like all about me getting all the stuff for the spell that you see in the box. You mm-hmm. know, when you saw me open the box. So this is a big deal. The spell and what I'm doing and this you know the sigils and everything. It's a big mm-hmm. deal. I'm really going for it. mm-hmm. And it was a Gaelic, Irish Gaelic. Irish Gaelic thing that I you know chanted and mm-hmm. shouted, and the Mark of Cain just beats it, mm-hmm. tops it. So that was like kind of like giving it a really good shot. You know, Rowena was that was a pretty big spell. It wasn't just like one of her you know
mm-hmm. right
spells. You know, this was going to do some damage.
And it has no effect on him. So
this is the problem.
Dean pulls the blade and goes up and cradles your head so lovingly.
But it was to blow him apart, though. That was the purpose of it.
Yeah, I mean, to at least blow the mark off, or to you know to really just. I mean, I think I'm really. I see Dean as a mortal enemy. Was that my microphone? I see him as a mortal enemy, so I was definitely really going to do some damage at that point. But he doesn't know. I turned purple. I didn't even do anything. It didn't work.
And so he's about to kill you, and you remind him that these boys, if he kills you, will suffer. Mm-hmm. The way the one girl earlier with you,
the
girls episode where you put the spell on her.
Yeah, Kirsten, she was a really, we had a lot of fun, and we called her the nice but dim girl because her character was like phonetics. She didn't understand a lot of stuff. So I was going to say the poor nice but dim girl, but I don't know if it was too convoluted at that moment in time. But yeah, it showed you the flashback because that was a really cool, the attack dog spell thing that mm-hmm. she did that kind of caused her to crash out so that they would have been eaten alive from the inside or whatever, as I said. So, yeah, so Dean, you know, he's a good guy. He's the hero. He has to be the... I kind of wished I'd said, hero. Like, I kind of wish I'd done that now when I saw it. But live and learn.
Well, we find out, obviously, that he doesn't kill you so that you can stop the spell from continuing on the three college boys. And you head back up to... or head, I guess, down... to hell.
Down to hell.
Down to hell. Mm-hmm. And realize you've got a little story to make up for Mr. Crowley.
When I read that, I was like, this is horrific. I'm going to self-mute. I really was like, oh man, this is really low. That's really low.
I'm glad we didn't see what you did to yourself.
Yeah, just after.
Yeah, I'd prefer not. Because there's been some, I mean, we were talking about with your episode a couple weeks ago. Mm. What's the title episode?
The Things They Carry.
I mean, there was a lot of gore in the episode with the worms and everything going on. And you were telling us, how did they do the stuff going into your mouth?
They put a green goo. It's like the slime stuff that they use for Nickelodeon, right?
Yeah.
So then they put a mass amount in your mouth to where when you open your mouth wide, it's just green.
Like a green screen,
it's like
in,
a
your
green screen
face.
In your face.
So luckily no worms were hurt in the filming.
No, there were no worms hurt. No. Very.
But does it fall out?
Well, that was the trick.
Yeah.
So as I'm, like, leaning over Jensen, and he's, like, right in front of me, and our faces are not that far, and I have to open my mouth. His look wasn't of anything like, oh, my God, a worm. His look was like, please don't let that fall on my face. like, either
Dribble
one. Like,
yeah.
So he didn't have to do much acting in that moment. He was just like, oh, my God.
Wow.
Like, there's this green goop that's, like, coming out. And literally, like, it's so thick that it comes out far enough that then they say cut, and you suck it back up and then spit it in a spit bucket.
Wow.
So, yeah.
When it actually goes into your mouth, do they have to drop the green goo in your mouth?
Oh, yeah, you have to put all... It's in a big, like, it's like a ketchup bottle,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then they open your mouth and they squeeze it all, and it just, like, fills up your entire face.
Oh, man, how's your gag reflex?
It's not good.
Tough questions today, guys. The tough questions.
Yeah, that was a hard one. It was not like that whole process is like I was saying to you guys earlier. It's you know, there's days of acting. It's just so enjoyable, even tough days, you know. But that process, other than the kind of bonding that kind of happened throughout the day with me and Jensen, and just spending the day with him, working with him all day, like I'd had with Sam previously. Mm-hmm. I call him Sam and Jensen. It's so funny.
Dean, Sam, or Jensen and Jared.
Yeah, I get him so confused. But yeah, like me and Sam had bonded, and now it was me and Dean's time to bond. And so that was kind of special. But the work was hard.
Mm.
Like that was a really hard. That was probably one of the hardest roles, other than a boxing film I did.
Mm.
Yeah, that was probably one of the hardest shooting requirements that I've had as an actor. And even like reading it, I was like reading the script, I'm like, oh wow, like it's gonna be an interesting.
We loved it.
Yeah, we thought you did a really
good
job.
We thought it was fantastic. The chemistry between you two was just spot on. It was great acting. It was fantastic.
Yeah.
And that's hard. That's those words are hard. Like that line, you read those lines and you really can't deliver that believable until you're in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no way to like sit in your hotel room and pretend you're being shocked.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, okay, wonder how they're gonna do it.
You know? Yeah, you said you broke the spoon in your mouth
broke
too,
the
right?
Spoon in my mouth, yeah, from biting down so hard, and everything about that day was really, really tough. Like there wasn't a moment that wasn't. And luckily, Jensen came over at one point and sat me down, and because I was totally overacting in a few scenes, I was just way over the top. You know, the part where I'm talking about my dad, and I was just like, emotionally, like just pushing, and he came over. He's like, you just have to say the lines at this point, you know.
Cool, that's nice. He did, because he can do that and not. You
be
can't
offensive.
Take a note. Yeah, you can. Not everyone can give a note. Not everyone should, but he's so.
Oh yeah, and I told him that when I first started working with the guys. I said, please, you've been on the show for 10 years. If there's any advice you can give, you know, I mean, you know the tone, you know what works, you
mm-hmm.
know what doesn't. If I'm doing something that's not working, please let me know, because you know with every show it's different, and the leads, you have to kind of follow the leads.
Yeah.
You know, some shows are just way over the top, and then if you come in and you're not over the top and you think you're doing good, they're like, mm-hmm. you gotta be bigger. But this one, he was like, you need to be, you know, just a little smaller.
Yeah.
Just, you've done all the work and you're exhausted, so just say the words. And by that point I was just literally saying the lines.
Yeah.
It worked.
Yeah, it worked.
It
well,
was
he's
fantastic.
He's a fantastic director, and
he is.
Between him and John Badham, like the two of them, like I've got this legendary.
John's,
yeah,
I love. I worked with John as well.
Mm-hmm.
And he is just a diamond.
He's a legend. Like,
he did Director Saturday Night Fever, mm-hmm. War Games, all these movies, and he really is an actor's director, isn't he?
He is. He's so, like, he's just one of those guys that you meet and you're like, wait, you work in the film industry? Like, you seem like, you know, like, you, I don't know what job he would do, but he's one of the most nicest, kindest men. And, you know, I've worked with some pretty harsh directors that are, you know, they're tough guys. And mm. He's such a gentle soul. And to have him, and then to have Jensen, you know, when he was busy with tech stuff, you know, to have Jensen kind of be there for me during that, I'm so thankful.
Mark does it for me. And I say same thing at the beginning. I said to him, and I listened to Mark. And I said this in an interview last week. I said, he's usually right. I mean, don't tell him I said that, but I think he's usually right. Because they're just so experienced. You know, mm-hmm. they've done a gazillion.
Especially, like, Mark's history with his family and his father. Like, comes from a lineage of actors. His dad's, like, a legendary actor. And so Mark was one of the first people I met when I got to Vancouver. I didn't work with him, but I just mm-hmm. met him on set because he was kind of leaving and I was coming in. And just to sit and talk with Mark for, like, 20 minutes, I was like, oh man, this guy is just knows his stuff. Like, he's a legendary actor in his own right. So yeah. I just listen most of the time with these guys, you know?
Yeah, with Mark, you listen. Yeah. He's worse than me. Chatty cat. I love him. Him so much.
And I love his history. I love the background of where you're from. I love the history of how actors come from different parts of the world, because I'm born and raised in Los Angeles, so I definitely know the LA actor. You know, I know how we prepare. We go lay out at the Standard and wait for our... Totally joking.
I'm so impressed with American actors. I mean, they work so hard. Yeah. They're so professional.
Do you think so? Well, who have you worked with? No, I'm just joking. But no, I'm always interested, like, the Brits, you know, people from Ireland, people from around the world, like, our preparations, our studies are so different, you know, than how we're trained and stuff. So, especially New York actors, too. That's a whole other way of training. And so it's just, Mark's just, he's got all that work and all that experience. I could listen to him all day, which you probably do.
I talk a lot as well. It's funny. I hold my own.
Well, we got to see you tell Crowley that it was Dean mm-hmm. that beat you up.
Yeah.
And that he did this horrible to you.
Mm-hmm. I love how Mark plays it. Like, I come in and I'm obviously in a mess, and mm-hmm. he sends everyone out. And he does that thing, that balance so well, where he's doing the thing where he's not really believing me, but he's still concerned in some way. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, he's still listening to you.
And he's still, there's something in him that's like, something's, you know, he's just plays it so well. And then I think I'm right, though. I'm like, be a bloody king. I must have said that.
Well, you said he was going soft.
And you are. I'm right. It's like, come on.
I think you're right with that. And, you know, but I love Crowley. I don't want him to turn on the brothers. But I think you're right. And I think you really are getting underneath his skin by saying those things to him.
Yeah, I think somebody needs to. I'm like, he's just not being evil enough. Come on. You're the king of hell.
Yeah. Well, and you tell him that the mark of Cain is actually just a curse. You're not quite sure how to get rid of it, but you know that there's some sort of cure out there for it, and he needs to figure it out.
It's like, it's the first curse, you know, but it still looks just a curse. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a really interesting piece of information. And there's a lot of scope there, isn't there? And I really like that little bit. I just like that, those few lines for some reason.
We saw that in the previews for this week, last week, and I predicted that I think you are going to, you know, have to help somehow with that, because you know the magic.
If I don't help anyone, I'm not saying anything. Yeah. No, I'm not a helpful character.
But to gain something for you, I think you're going to be the answer. I mean, we obviously see this episode that Metatron mm-hmm. doesn't know anything, so it's like, how do we fix this? How do we get this mark gone? Mm.
Where are you walking to at the end? Do you know where you're going?
That's Rashad, because he's a independent filmmaker, New York, mm-hmm. trained and based and all that. And, like, isn't that just so, like...
A beautiful.
Yeah.
And to film that, honestly, to turn up in the morning, get driven to set, and to have, like, the crane, and to have the street cleared for you just to walk along with your... I loved filming that, and it was slightly drizzly rain, and very poetic.
It's like vanilla
sky. Mm-hmm. And that was so much fun. And who knows where she's headed. But to me, that's Rowena's life. That's what she's been doing for 300 years. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why I really was upset when he kicked me out. I'm like, actually, I'm really upset now. This is the one person I thought I might be able to kind of hold on to somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And it's horrible to be kicked out, to be like I always think of it as like a stray cat. Mm. So yeah, who knows where she'll turn up.
When you're walking down the street, I've always wondered this with actors, like, because it's like you said, you're in this beautiful setting and you're just thinking, like, this is incredible. Like, as an actor, you're like, this is amazing. But do you ever, as a character, be like, where am I going? Do you ever think
about
that?
Yeah, like, the reality is, like, where do I get the bus? Can I hail a cab?
Yeah, do I get a massage?
You've got to walk with a purpose.
Yeah, I was. And Rashad, we did it a few times, and Rashad was like, you know, really... And there was some people taking photographs that day that had heard we were filming there, and so there's some really cool shots just on the internet, just they came out before, and I'm like, scrolling, acting something. Thinking some acting thought.
Sure.
Transport somewhere.
Thinking about Trent, and where can I find him? Where did he live?
Trent.
Summoning your broom.
Well, before we get to you leaving, we see Bobby making his way out of heaven, out of his own personal heaven, seeing all the doors in this gorgeous white, clean, modern set. Roberto Singer, and just all the names, everything's alphabetical.
So I would be next to a bunch of Katie Campbells.
Yeah, with one E, then two E's, and three E's.
A bunch of E's.
And Cass and Sam asking Bobby if he can handle this. Hannah is telling all the people out to return to their own personal heavens. Havoc is happening right now.
She's being very Hannah at that. Well, he's being very Hannah at that point.
Yes.
Do the right thing. And
so. No, you're fine. Something I thought was really interesting about being able to get out of your heaven is something that's, you know, not in the right place. And he found, like, a snag on the rug. I thought that was a cool way to get out of your heaven.
Mm-hmm.
It was a great script, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Andrew, and who's one of the main writers. And I thought the design as well in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't they do a good... It really was. It was it had its own look. And, I loved that. It was, like, something really filmic, I think, at that point. It was really cool.
And we get to door 42. And he opens it, and Cass comes in, and they are going to try and get to Metatron.
Yeah.
So we see them. Cass breaks Metatron out. They find him in the cell. Call him Fraggle.
He was like, it's a great show. He wasn't bothered by the insult. Fraggle Rock was a great show, so, you know, he was happy.
It was a great show.
Red was my favorite. Did you watch Fraggle Rock?
I did, yes.
Kate didn't watch Fraggle Rock. Like, that was before her time.
I didn't.
That was just too far before your time.
I mean, I watched the reruns.
So they break him out and they tell Metatron, you know, he makes this long, grandiose speech about how, you know, live it, learn it, love it. You know, there's one way and that's it. And Cass goes to him, slits his neck, pulls his grace out. Sam shoots him.
I was freaking out that they did that.
It's pretty violent.
I got a little scared.
Yeah.
It was pretty violent.
He just took the... And then Cass told him to shoot him again. I mean, yeah, obviously he didn't. Yeah, but he did take it out. And was he going to? I was freaking out.
Well, he wanted to find out. The point of getting Metatron out was to find out if the information on the Mark of Cain. And if there was more information or if he was lying. He is mortal now. He's going to die. He's going to get hurt. He'll blow his brains out. All of that. Mm-hmm. And Metatron basically says that all of this was just a ruse to get out and play and cause more trouble. But he does know where more of Cass's grace is, and he'll take him to go do that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We find that out.
That's important for Cass, isn't it?
It's very important for Cass to get fully back to that.
We all want that. I mean, not Rowena, but watching it, the fans want that, don't they?
Yeah.
And then we get to see this lovely scene between Dean and Crowley, wondering, all right, what's going on here? You've got Dean drinking, you've got Crowley with his beautiful, froofy white drink with a little pitchfork in it, all cute and stuff, and listening to Dean talk that, no, you lied to him. Miss Rowena always causing trouble and making stuff up and lied to him, and that Dean didn't really hurt you. And talking about family and how important it is. And it's not blood. Mm-hmm. It's about how you are with somebody. It's about picking them up when they're down and helping them out and asking, have you ever done that for him?
Yeah, I know. And it's
Crowley in that moment knows.
It's Dr. Phil, Dean's been Dr. Phil. And it's what the whole SBN fan base and family is based on, isn't it? That premise.
It was a beautiful, beautiful moment.
Who originally said that line?
Dean said that to Crowley, but who originally said it?
Yeah, who originally said it?
Way back.
Yeah, because he said someone originally told me, and I was wondering.
Oh, it's one of those, I mean, it's been around and around.
John Winchester.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe then?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We'll find out.
It's good to know.
Find out.
Tweet us.
Thanks for asking that question.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, a question.
You guys know who said that from the beginning. Let us know on YouTube or tweet us with the hashtag ABTVSupernatural.
I really enjoyed that, though, that scene, because I missed that bromance between the two of them that we got to see in the very beginning of the season. Mm. I think it's hilarious.
I want them to rule hell together. I love the two of them.
I know. That's how you want it to end.
So much. I want it to end.
You want Dean in hell?
I want Dean in hell with, I want him to send Sam to heaven. And Dean in hell with Crowley ruling over, but maintaining composure.
You think they should be separated?
Sam would be alive in heaven.
I don't want them to be separated.
I don't.
But I feel like it's the whole story of Cain and Abel and having to be separated.
Okay. You're going to get blown up.
Well, maybe Dean could work with Crowley and I could work with Sam, you know? Would that work?
Turn you good
in heaven.
In heaven.
In heaven. So we see we see Crowley coming back and telling you you have to go, and he just blows up at you, and
it's
like
good. In a way, it's like there was one take where he was saying that stuff. I'm bloody Crowley, and there was part of me was like, because he is now, it's that bittersweet thing where he's now being the thing that I was trying to. But he's just turned against me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's using it against you.
Yeah.
He was right. He said I was being soft.
Yeah.
So I'm not soft. I'm Crowley. Get out.
So,
and your lip quiver and everything. I was just like, oh, gosh.
So my plan, it worked, but against me. Damn.
That happens mostly in life, though. People who tell you need to be a certain way, and it happens to be, oh, yeah. But that means you're out.
Yeah.
If you want me to be this way, then thanks for the advice.
Careful what you wish for you and other people.
True.
So, yeah, I love filming that scene with Mark. I loved it. That was one of my favorite scenes to film. And
Dog liked it, too.
Yeah. See?
Great. That was a great, powerful scene. It was nice to see Crowley be Crowley again, because you were right.
But I also think to see Rowena, vulnerable, to see her genuinely,
hurt.
It's not nice. She's hurt. And she's abandoned again, and she's on her own, and it's her own fault, of course, but I thought that was nice to have see some vulnerability there.
And I'm really excited to see what you're going to do now. You're going to take that and step back.
Yeah, all that vulnerability is going to turn
where
into something
gonna go.
Else.
Yeah.
You're not going to go learn from it and come back a better person.
Not yet. She can't be in heaven with Sam just yet.
Maybe she should meet Cole and he should give her that advice.
I'm like, come in my Jeep and we'll have a conversation.
We'll grow emotionally.
Yeah, look, just go back, say you're sorry.
So we get Sam and Dean back at the bunker, and Cass has given a letter to Sam from Bobby.
Wait, it's driving me crazy before we talk about the letter that they are hiding things from each other.
That's hence the letter.
Yeah, it's awful.
Hence this beautiful letter where Bobby says, you know, you don't go behind Dean's back. If there's one thing, just don't go behind his back to do this.
Mm-hmm.
He understands that you have to do a little bad for a lot of good.
Mm-hmm.
But this is going to come at a price.
Sometimes bad is just bad.
Sometimes bad is just bad. And he has to make the right choice, but that he's proud of him.
Yeah.
And what he's doing. And getting to see him has been the happiest he's been in forever.
Oh, and forever.
So beautiful and emotional.
Isn't that the point of Supernatural? Like a big theme in Supernatural, doing a little bad to do a lot of good. And that's the whole dilemma with what they're doing with these hunts. Mm-hmm. You know, that comes up a lot for them, isn't it? That moral dilemma. And I think we'll see more of that, I predict.
You predict. We've got a break next week, so we're actually going to be coming back on April 15th. We'll be in studio the 16th, so you guys will see us on the 16th at 3 p.m. live. Let's skip predictions tonight so we can find more about what you guys are doing right now. The last we talked to you, you had been working on a couple films, Criminal Activities and The Forager with John Travolta.
That's true.
You had done three indies, Blue Jay, The Condor, and you were working with Arm of Animals, and Extinction Soup was a documentary about sharks. What's going on now?
Well, I just got back from Vegas on my first convention.
Jen.
That was I've come up with a cure for the convention flu. So that'll be coming the next convention.
I have some Monday.
Yes,
too.
I'm gonna break it down for you. And then I go to the May convention in London. So I'm getting ready to go.
Oh, you're coming to Asylum?
I am.
Yay.
So are we going? Are we rocking out?
If we are. I'm going to be there. Everyone's going to be there. Curtis, everyone.
Oh, I'm so excited about that because it's not London, but it's in Birmingham. And a dear friend of mine, this gentleman named Chris Van Eerden, he's a South African world champ. He's the IBF champ. And so we're, you know, on a hike and running, and he goes, I'm going to be fighting in Birmingham on May 9th. And I go, I'm going to be in Birmingham on May 6th through the 13th.
That's bonkers.
So he's like, you want to come out with me and when I fight for the title? So I'm going to be behind him like Justin Bieber at Mayweather.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So it's I get to do the convention, and then I get to actually go with my first
something fun too.
Championship fight when I'm there and be there with the champion and cool. Root him on. And then
so what is that, the Saturday night or the Friday night?
That's the Saturday night.
Saturday night.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's later. It's not till 9. So, well, we might round up. I'm trying to get all the Supernatural guys. Like, the cool thing about this thing is that he supports Jared's Always Keep Fighting campaign.
Yeah, which is so cool.
So he's going to come out from Reno wearing Jared's shirt, Always Keep Fighting. So I kind of bridge that gap to kind of get that exposure.
That's
and
cool.
Message Jared when we were at the top of running, and I'm like, he'll wear your shirt. Jared's like, so cool.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
I'll wear mine at the same time.
Yeah.
You guys will go to a show wearing
it. Yeah, and it fits so perfectly. Like, you know, this guy's fighting for a championship, and we're really big on fighting against depression and all that cause. And so that was cool. So that, and then I just announced Germany. I'm going to go to Germany for the Purgatory.
Oh, cool.
So that's three conventions. And the convention thing really takes up a lot. You know, I got
of your time and
when you have the movies coming out and then you have the conventions and then pilot season just ended and I tested and didn't get something but then now it's about the business of promoting the work you did last year. So that's what kind of is on my plate.
You've got a busy road ahead of you.
I would, and I don't know, I mean, I know Cole's got to go home and do some things with his wife, you know.
We hope for a return of him.
CW tweeted, "This is just the beginning." Did you see that?
I did. Like, I thought he was talking about me and my wife's like sex life.
Have you seen your wife?
I haven't seen her forever.
We got naked Rowena, now we're hoping for naked Cole over here too.
The whole episode is just us like in the bedroom and our kid like knocking on the door, like, "What's going on?" I mean, I've just ditched her to go like hang out with these guys. I think she's really jealous.
That'd be a cool role to get cast, though. They'll be looking for that role next year.
Yeah, I know. I hope so. I really do.
I'll play that role.
You want to jump in?
Yeah, I'll jump in.
She's going to play it.
All right. And then, Ruth, you had worked on a Dogma-style film and The Cursed Man, which was based off a cult and a novel. What have you got coming up for the next?
Well, honestly, I've been so busy with Supernatural. I've been in Vancouver a lot. And, Asylum will be my first convention.
So excited for you.
And I've got a couple more. I've got Toronto and Chicago and LA, and also one in Spain in June. So I'm so can't wait and slightly terrified at the same time. Like, and I'm like, do I have to sing a song? This is what it seems to have to do. And so Erica and I were thinking maybe we could come up with a little silly plan for Asylum. Maybe we could do some terrible music.
Oh, they're gonna love it.
So yeah, so and just promoting the show. I'm loving doing all this, and thank you so much for having
awesome.
Us again, you guys. It's so nice to be here.
We love having you.
Yeah, we love having you in. Thank you so much for talking with us and stuff. I have one question from a fan asking about Jensen's gummy bears.
I was gonna say that
you were sorry.
That's okay.
Someone asked, they're like, "Will you ask Ruth about Jensen's gummy bears?" I'm sorry, I can't remember your name, but thank you for asking me to ask, and I remembered.
At some point, he has to find out, doesn't he? I mean, I'm not going to tell him. At some point, he's going to know, and I will tweet what happens.
Because he doesn't know yet.
I mean, unless somebody somehow has gotten it. I mean, I feel like at a convention, somebody's going to be like, Ruth's been eating your gummy bears. What? So we'll see. I'll maybe take some extra ones and put them back in the tray, in the candy tray, Charmaine. our head of hair and her candy tray. I'll maybe have to put some back in. I mean, I asked the fans, though. I was like, should I? And they were like, yeah. I thought everyone was going to go, no, don't eat. Don't you dare eat Jensen's bears. And everyone was like, really, go for it. Tell us what happens.
Wonderful. Well, thank you guys so much for coming in with us. We love having you here. You're always welcome back at the AfterBuzz TV studios. Where can they find you, Ruth, on all things social media?
Wow. Okay. So if you go to Hoosay, I think everything's listed there. So on Instagram, I'm Ruthie_Connell. Tumblr, I can never remember Tumblr. Ruthie Connell. And Twitter, I'm Ruthie Connell. Facebook, I'm Ruth Connell Actress.
Perfect. And Travis?
I live in Sherman Oaks. No, I'm just
kidding. Okay, so you can find you in Sherman Oaks. Go to the Whole Foods over there. A couple great restaurants.
It's all Travis Aaron Wade. Everything is Travis Aaron Wade. I got fortunate. And then, obviously, Army Animals is a big thing to support the animals, and it's a good cause. And then Extinction Soup, check that out. It should be out this year.
Awesome. And Katie, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter at KatieEE Campbell. That's Katie with 3 E's Campbell. Instagram at KatieCampbell13. You can also find me at Katie Campbell Online and YouTube.com/KatieCampbellOnline. I have a little vlog series going.
It's wonderful. I actually just watched her first do it yourself, and it was super cute and amazing. And Katie's always lovely. You guys can find me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, or my blog, or Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Lindsay Wagner, or my blog, lindsaywagner.blogspot.com, or Thursday nights for CAC Studios, Thenardier's Inn. Check it out online. Thank you so much for watching. We'll see you in 2 weeks. And thanks, guys. Thank you for coming, guys.
Thank you. Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.